Good afternoon. Welcome to July 30th, 2019, Sussex County Council meeting. First thing to approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good afternoon, members of council. I do have one change today. We can strike under executive session land acquisition and possible actions on executive session items.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Burton.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, motion carried. We have the minutes of July 23rd. Any questions, corrections? They'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Correspondence to council. Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Paul Rigger.
Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Just like we brought up last week before the meeting during public comments about bringing up some of the simple things in the code that needs to be corrected and brought up to date and fixed for timing. And then after we discuss that, then the next meeting this week today starts at 1. It's like, instead of always starting at 1 when you wanted a delayed meeting, maybe we could have started at 12:30 or something and finally had a little discussion. Because we really don't have, since Cole, Mr. Phillips, and a few others have left during the public comment period in the mornings, there's no discussion back and forth a little bit to get things resolved. Now that's settled. Main thing coming up at the next Board of Adjustment meeting, there's finding of facts on there for the July 17th meeting, which was the last meeting of Board of Adjustments, where there was two special use exceptions on that agenda. During that hearing, you had the four members that voted on it to approve it at the hearing July 17th. Two of them are no longer available, had retired, and the other one abstained. Now my question is with the finding of facts, if they're to be voted on or approved by the board members of that hearing, there's only going to be two board members that I would assume can vote on the finding of facts. Are the finding of facts just a piece of paper wrote by the attorney just for the sake of having it wrote out? Because if it is, why do we even make a motion for it to be approved or accepted or a consensus, whatever way? It just seems like you're basing it not on facts, because you had a while ago a hearing for in a mobile home park in an MR for a guy that wanted to put a stick-built house into a mobile home park district where it wasn't supposed to happen. You listen to all the hearings that went through, and with the board members through all those hearings, there's no way that it was approved. But then the last hearing that they did, it went sideways, no votes on that one, and everybody thought it was all denied completely. No, he couldn't do it. At least the five or six people that I spoke to that were familiar with it. But then when the finding of facts come out, it's now all of a sudden approved to set precedent that stick-built houses can be put in mobile home parks in MR districts, I would assume. But if the finding of facts are just a piece of paper wrote for the sake of having the attorneys do it, and if it can be voted on by anybody, why do we need them? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. Now, I got my boss back sitting back there, and she told me I had to be nice when I come up here today, but I got news for you. And by the way, she's also got a baseball bat she said she's going to use if I'm not nice, but I got news for you. I still ain't going to be nice, but I got a hard enough head. Even if she swings a bat, she's going to miss it and dent my turkey, but that's beside the point. It's like she said, why am I even wasting time coming down here for a half hour? Well, I did have to come down for one item. So I decided not to make a special trip. I just pick it up today while I'm here. But Paul's right about one thing. Why don't you guys get off your turkeys and start having these meetings in the morning? You could have had 2 hours this morning to look at stuff that he's been bringing up and get it, see what it takes to get it corrected at one item at a time. But no, you want to waste everybody else's time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple items to get to today, starting with the recognition of Brent Hudson, paramedic, retiring after 28 years of service. I have a tribute here, Mr. President, that we'd like to present on behalf of the council. I see Mr. Hudson is here. Invite Mr. Hudson to come forward. As you're doing that, I will read the tribute. Be it hereby known to all, Sussex County Council commends Brent D. Hudson, paramedic 2, emergency medical services, for devotion, loyalty, and excellence in serving Sussex County from December 1, 1990 to July 26, 2019, a total of 28 years and 7 months. Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Brent with wishes of happiness and good health. Signed, Michael H. Vinson, President. Congratulations, Brent.
And you know, I've known Brent Hudson for 28 years and 7 months.
That's right.
I was probably the first ambulance I ever met. I'm not sure about that. We rode ambulance a lot of time together. Me as an ambulance attendant, you as a paramedic. And I always want to congratulate you on your career. You've done a great job in this county. I would hope that all of our new people come on board paramedics have your philosophy about patient care and being kind to everybody. And you certainly did that. You did a great job. I appreciate everything you did. Let's get a picture taken here. We've got a photo op for you, buddy.
All right.
Hold that. There you go.
You'll have to look up the mic.
You put that thing in there. Do you want to say anything while you're
I
here?
Do.
While you
I
get
do.
Jumping up there, buddy.
All right. So my last night was Friday night. And I got off Saturday morning. I thought that was going to be the last time that I put this uniform on, this jumpsuit. But Bob said the uniform of the day was a jumpsuit. But I'm very honored to be here in front of you today to have it on again. And with that, I just want to say a few words. As a young man standing in the volunteer, or starting in the volunteer fire and EMS system, when we took people to the hospital on the ambulance, it was a scoop and swoop situation back then with very little patient care. We didn't even know what a paramedic was. When the job ad was posted by the county for the paramedic positions in early 1990, I still didn't fully understand what a paramedic did, but I knew I wanted to do it. Plus years later, many lives have been changed and saved in Sussex County because of advanced life support and paramedics. I could talk for hours about Sussex County EMS and all of its advances, what it has done and what it has become. The SCIM's motto is caring people, quality service. I have witnessed firsthand that care and service by the men and women of Sussex County EMS on a daily basis. I will forever be grateful for the opportunity to have been able to care for patients that were residents and visitors and sometimes family and friends. I want to thank the current and past county councils, county administrations, paramedic administrations for their support in making Sussex County EMS the great system that it is recognized for being today. It has truly and sincerely been an honor and privilege to have served as a paramedic in the county that I was born and raised in. Thank you.
Next, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Congratulations, Brent.
Thank you, Mr.
Ross. Next is a Library Advisory Board appointment. We do have a reappointment today in District 3, Mr. Burton's district. It's my understanding Mr. Burton would like to reappoint Mrs. Mary Schwanke. I do have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the reappointment of Mrs. Mary Schwanke to the Sussex County Library Advisory Board effective immediately until such time that her term expires on June 30, 2022.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Obvious. Motion carried.
Thank you. Next item is the Source Water TAC appointment. It's actually appointments. In June, I appeared before you to discuss the Sussex County Council Technical Advisory Committee for Source Water Protection. This was a matter of first impression for most of us, and we didn't actually have a committee at the time, knowing that we needed one. It took us some time, and I want to thank County Engineer Hans Medlars for his diligence in securing 10 people who are qualified and willing to serve on this committee. The people that have agreed to serve were listed in your packet, and because they are going to be listed in the appointment, I would like to read their names. Anita Beckel, Diane Calloway, Greg Curry, Rick Duncan, Brian Jefferson, Greg Sauter, Blair Venables, Jessica Watson, David Wants, and Rodney Wyatt. These are the 10 individuals who are qualified and willing to serve. The commitment is for 2 years, and it would take effect August 1. I do have a motion for consideration unless you have any questions.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the appointments of the 10 people I just listed to the Sussex County Source Water Protection Technical Advisory Committee effective August 1 for a term of 2 years.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions?
Is that for drinking water?
Source water.
Source water, yeah.
Source water?
That's correct.
Okay.
More questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes, and I want to say thank you for their service. Appreciate being willing to serve.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Obviously, motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you. County Administrator's report for July 30th. One item. Council will not meet on Tuesday, August 6th. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, August 13th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mike Costello.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of council. So I just wanted to provide an update, and I provide an update about every 6 months on our memorandum of understanding between Sussex County and our partners at the Department of Correction and DLDOT. As you recall, Council approved the MOU back in 2018, which allowed us to begin forwarding areas of concern regarding litter and debris along the roadways in Sussex County. Further, the agreement provides for the payment of overtime to DOC staff who supervise the crews to clean up the areas that we report to them. These cleanup efforts are above and beyond the cleanup activities that are already undertaken by DOC. Oops. Okay. So as you can see, March was the busiest of these months in almost all measurable areas, with the exception of the number of tires that were collected. These areas include miles of roadway, the number of requests, the amount of tires, and the total bags of trash that get picked up. This chart provides a better way to look at the totals of the measurable areas for the six-month period between January and June. At about the same time last year, all of these were at least doubled. From the first six-month period, with the exception of the number of tires. As a comparison between our first six-month period and our current look, you can see that the number of requests jumped from 41 to 177 for the six-month period. Bags of trash went from 958 to almost over 2250. Roadway miles, we cover 251 miles of roadway in the county, and the number of tires collected were about 85. I guess they're getting more than are getting put down. The cost per month, as you can see, March again was the highest because it just seemed to have the highest activity. people coming out, getting out and about in the community, noticing the trash in and around the roadways and making those requests. We turn that request over to DOC and they manage to get out there and clean these areas up. The total was 26,282, which averages out to about 105 per road mile. The last six-month period was just about over $150 per road mile, so those averages are coming down. The this chart, I'm sorry. Just to review the manner in which we receive these requests, the citizen can locate our request form in a couple of places on the county webpage. And by simply filling out the little bit of information that will help us identify where the location is, where they see the trash and debris on the road, once they submit that, our staff combine those and we form a weekly spreadsheet that we send over to DOC. They put it on their work list and they get out there and provide us feedback on when they get those areas cleaned up. The DOC alerts DelDOT of the areas that get cleaned up, and a lot of times you'll see their trash piled up at a street sign or at a certain location. They notify the yard. DelDOT goes and picks that stuff up and disposes of it at no additional cost to us. So to this point, the MOU seems to work out very well. It's received well by the community and effective in getting some of these areas cleaned up that would otherwise have to wait for normal and ordinary methods to get things cleaned up. So our partners are happy with this agreement. It's working out well. We're getting some areas cleaned up. And thank you for continuing to support this. Do you have any questions?
Question to the council, Mr. Burton.
This is just the trash that our contract does. They still That's are correct. Running two other vans.
They are.
Okay. Yeah. Any more questions? Thank you,
okay.
sir.
Thank you.
For your
Thank
continued
you.
Work.
Thank you.
It's working out well, I think. You can do the next thing, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Yeah. We'd like to invite Megan Airbus to come forward. She's going to do a presentation on our GIS initiatives, but as you can see, Megan is joined by her team today. We want to recognize the entire GIS and mapping staff that the county is using. This team and Megan and her colleague Joel Marshall attended the ESRI conference last month in California. And Sussex County GIS was awarded the SAG Award, which is a special achievement in GIS by the ESRI software developer for their efforts in the county's GIS platform. This distinguished honor was handed out to Joel and Megan at the time, and were recognized for their innovative approach to improving efficiencies by mapping crowdsourced data on internet connectivity in southern Delaware. It's a mouthful. So it was very appropriate for us to bring the team in today and invite them to come forward. Megan's going to highlight some of these efforts, but we also want to congratulate her and her team for this wonderful award and all the efforts you're doing on behalf of the county. Congratulations.
Thank you. None of these initiatives would be possible without great base data to work with. So whether that's our street centerline data, our addressing, our property records, everyone on this mapping and addressing team contributes so that we can do some of these fancy award-worthy items that you'll see. So I wanted to start by showcasing the work that we're doing within our engineering division. We've previously come before you and shown you a little bit of how we are trying to incorporate more field mobility and more field-to-office communication. One of the things that I would like to highlight here is that this dashboard brings in three different systems. So instead of going to all of these separate siloed systems, this dashboard brings in the missed utility tickets, where our damage prevention team has to go out and mark any assets that we have before anyone can dig. It also brings in our inspections that are input through Munis for sewer connections or water connections and that sort of thing that we need to send out into the field. And also, this new issue that I would like to show is the open issues that you'll notice here in the middle. And what these are folks out in the field reporting issues that they notice in the sewer network. It may be an attribute error, the distance appears to be wrong based on what's on the map and what they're seeing in the field. So they're submitting these, it automatically notifies a manager who then notifies a GIS technician who can go in and correct these mapping errors. So just to give you an idea of how revolutionary this piece of the product is. We used to get a hand-marked up paper of whatever the issue was that was found in the field. It went to several different desks getting signed off on, finally made it back to the CAD technician to correct the issue within the map, and then each individual locator on the damage prevention team had to come in with a thumb drive, plug it into that CAD technician's workstation, and get the new mapping onto their laptops. So what this has done now is you'll notice that Chris Workman submitted this ticket yesterday morning, and they started to disappear within hours. And I had to run out to my GIS team and say, hey guys, wait, slow down. Don't fix these yet. I'd like to showcase them. So it's a matter of hours, not a matter of weeks. And that is assuming that there wasn't feedback that needed to happen. Now they can also submit issues back out to the field and request a GPS verification. So this communication to and from the field is instantaneous. When they correct the mapping issue that they've noticed, it goes right back out to the field so they can see that change. So just to give you an idea, if we go to this area where there were some issues noticed, you can see that he's showing comments of what these issues are. This manhole is labeled incorrectly, and he's said what the label should be. So now our GIS team can fix that based on what they're seeing in the field, and they know who submitted it. So if they have follow-up questions, they can reach out to Chris and get that question answered. We're implementing this in just about every division in the county. We have building code, planning and zoning, as well as constables are starting to use this dashboard method. We're not quite yet fully field mobile with them yet, as we're working through some of their inspection responsibilities, but that should be coming in the next fiscal year, we hope. So the next piece of GIS that we would like to showcase to you is what's known as a story map. So as we all know, we had a tornado that struck in Laurel, Delaware, and we had to go out and do some damage assessments in that area as that was happening. So some of the GIS team, we went over to Laurel Firehouse and we stationed up there, and as these reports were coming in, we went ahead and collected that damage information. The nice thing about a story map is it provides the ability to add a narrative. So it's not just data. It gives you the story and information behind the data that you're seeing in the map. So with our damage assessment software, we were able to collect these values and, oops, I didn't click one, there we go. We were able to monitor whether it was major, minor, destroyed. Our software is built directly to FEMA document format, so we don't have to redo any of that to submit for FEMA reimbursement. We have blocked this out for the sake of privacy. We're not showing estimated losses, just whether it's major, minor, or destroyed. But it does also connect back to our CAMA system, which has been implemented. So you can see ownership information, valuation, all of these things are automated. With the information that we collected, we were able to send this back up to the Weather Service and NOAA to get the formal acknowledgement of the tornado path, as well as the qualification of the EF2. The other thing that is interesting in GIS is we have all these nice, fancy, shiny technology investments like drones, but it's just a whole lot of pictures that we get out of that. By taking it and using our GIS, we can attach those drone images to where that damage occurred. So we have not only what the damage level was, the valuation of that damage, but we also can attach those great images to those actual properties. So show a couple examples. We also were able to commission a flyover immediately after the incident occurred. So we were able to create this swipe application of before and after, so what it looked like before the tornado went through and what it looked like after the tornado went through. If you look at this area here where it's just kind of a pile of rubble, you'll see where it was, in fact, two outbuildings that are no longer there. And this flyover was for much of the affected area. So up here you'll see some beautiful tree lines that were completely wiped out. And you can also, if I zoom in here, you'll be able to see kind of just how far that debris was thrown into the fields. We can also add into a story map actual drone video footage. This is along Seaford Road, and And in here, you'll see one of the newly enhanced phone towers, the electrical towers, that snapped, and that's how we were able to verify that the wind speed was enough to be the EF2. So this is a few minutes of video. We'll make sure you all get the link so you can watch at your leisure. And then we also were able to add in another narrative about recovery, thank all those who donated supplies, those who came in volunteer efforts like VOAD, to thank them for all of their efforts in recovery. And then the last map I would like to share with you, the last piece of GIS, is the crowdsourcing. And what's great about crowdsourcing, particularly for local governments, is that we care about constituent engagement. We want to know from, we want to hear from them. And what we have done with this application is we were trying to map those broadband deserts. Where do people not have good connectivity? So we were able to put it out there for folks to fill out their own information, to put their information on the map. There's no maintenance for our team whatsoever. Folks can submit their data. We can block out their names, their phone numbers, anything that would be sensitive data, but we get an idea of where those broadband deserts are through constituent engagement. We certainly hope that we will have more of these kinds of applications in the future to hear from our constituency. And finally, I did want to mention, we surveyed our field crews who have started using GIS, and 25% of them wanted to continue doing what they were doing. However, 100% either agreed or strongly agreed that it increased their productivity. 100% rated it easy or very easy to use. In the ease of use, their comments were that it was faster and more efficient, that it was a cakewalk of the overall transition. Their comments were that it was seamless, they love it, it's so much easier, and believe it or not, they commented that change is good. I'm pretty sure I've never heard that one before, so we were very excited to get that feedback, because change is good. So I thank you for your time, and thank you for giving our team the opportunity to be recognized.
Well, sir, congratulations to you and your team. I will say this, in my tenure on council, we have made leaps and bounds improvements in what your people can do, and I think we've certainly provided the funding to do that, but it's the people that do that, not the funding. But thank all of you for all your hard work, Butch County. We appreciate all you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Quick question.
Mr. Riley.
Absolutely. Any questions?
So this creates a record. And how long would you retain those records?
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're just out there in,
yep,
in storage.
Absolutely.
Okay. And this particular link is on the county website?
This one is. This one is public facing. So if you go to sussexcountyde.gov/broadband, there's a service request map there, and anyone can put in that information.
I have to publicize that. That's good.
Anything else from council? Again, thank you, and thank your staff for all you do. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, let's see. We haven't got too much. Let's see if we can get through. Where's John Ashman? There he comes.
He's coming out of bed.
Good afternoon. I'm here today about the Lockwood expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer Department. This would be an expansion of our Angola Neck area. This would include all the parcels within the Lockwood subdivision. The engineering department received a request from the Homeowners Association to speak at one of their annual meetings, and basically that discussion kind of turned mostly towards the sewer district boundary, what they could do to be included, and what the impacts would be. We received a letter from the Homeowners Association for interest, but we backed that up with sending polling letters to the entire community on January 24th. That polling letter asked them if they were interested in Central Sewer or if they had no interest. The results of the poll to date show 85 parcels in support and 66 opposed. That's a 38% to 30%. We'd like it to be a little more positive towards the one side or the other, but at this point in time, with 68% of the people responding, that's better than we normally get for a response, so we would like to take it to a public hearing, give them a little more detailed information, and find out what they can do. So this is a request for permission to prepare and post notices for that public hearing on the annexation area.
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved by the Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Lockwood expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels within the Lockwood subdivision as presented on July 30th, 2019.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions?
They all took a vote, right?
They will take a vote.
This is to give me authority to post that, take a vote.
Okay.
Well, actually, this would just be an annexation, so you would take the vote, but we would present the public hearing results to you.
More questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Thank you very much.
Okay. With that vote, we will set a tentative date for a public hearing of September 7th of 2019 at 10 a.m. at Connolly's United Methodist Church.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Jenny says do grants real quick and then you can go back to work. How about that?
All right. Sounds good. Okay, I have three grants for your consideration. The first one is Millsboro Little League. They are requesting $1,000 to help support their team in the World Series in Connecticut. The team is made up of players from the towns of Laurel, Seaford, and Millsboro. Last grant received was $1,000 from the countywide youth program Mr. Riley placed on the agenda, and it would qualify for a countywide youth grant as well.
Mr. Riley?
Move to introduce that, or
$1,000 from the countywide youth grant. Okay.
So
motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Burton. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Burton.
Yes.
I will. Yeah. Motion carried. Next.
Okay. Next one. Delaware Botanic Gardens requesting $5,000 for their grand opening. Their mission is to create a world-class, inspirational, educational, and sustainable public botanic garden in southern Delaware for the benefit and enjoyment of all. Last grant received was $3,000, which was $1,000 for Mr. Arlett, $1,000 for Mr. Cole, $500 for Mr. Burton, and $500 for Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Mr. Riley.
So I'd like to do $1,000 for that.
I'll do the same as last year,
$500. Anybody else?
I'll do the same as Mr. Cole did.
Okay.
I make a motion to all do the same.
There you go. Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. To grant $3,000 to the Delaware Botanic Gardens for grant sponsorship, being $1,000 Mr. Hudson's councilman account, $1,000 Mr. Raleigh's councilman account, $500 from Burton's councilman account, and $500 from my councilman account. Questions on the motion?
Chairman.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I have the motion carried.
Okay. Last one is Ridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival is requesting $3,000 for their annual festival that promotes agribusiness and tourism in western Sussex County. Last grant received for this event was $3,000, which was $1,000 each from Mr. Vincent, Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Arlett. And Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
Okay. We do it all the same.
Well, we don't know if Mr. Raleigh will participate or not.
I'd be willing to, yeah, sure.
You will?
Yes, $1,000.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Riley.
I'm going to take part.
To grant $3,000 to the Bridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival expenses, being $1,000 from my councilman account, $1,000 Mr. Wilson's councilman account, $1,000 Mr. Riley's councilman account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I'm the motion carried. Thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore, let's go to public hearings.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of